The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. So I got a little housekeeping to start the show. First of all, I want to say thank you to Water and Sewerage. The leak is on its way to being repaired, if not repaired. The road, it looked like it's already being patched up, and that's awesome. Thank you for acting so quickly. If that was just a community member who filled in that space, or maybe, you know, got the leak stopped, I want to say thank you, but what great timing. And so if you see a leak in your area, go online, look for the Water and Sewerage Leak Hotline and give them a call. They will get on it right away. My next note of business is this. Whoever is trying to win the Guinness Book of World Records for coal patching road, you done win. You could stop now. You could stop. It's okay. It's like at this point, the coal patch may be more detrimental than you think, than the hole itself, right? And if the coal patch is not applied properly in the proper dry conditions, then it's also going to deteriorate far faster than expected. But the most important thing is this. Coal patch is a temporary solution, an interim, until you are able to repair the road properly. Please. Also, whoever's responsible for putting concrete in the road as a patch, let's find another alternative. As you can see, many of the concrete patches are chipping away and causing extreme damage to tires and cars. I know that coal patch contract may be attractive, but let's find a different solution. So welcome to On the Clock. Yesterday, I talked about agricultural theft, and honestly, we just touched the surface. Since then, I've learned about a number of agricultural initiatives that have been plagued by theft. This is a major issue, from physical violence to cultural loss to financial impact. Agricultural theft can have devastating effects on our lives, economies, and countries. Our inability to implement effective strategies to address agricultural theft and aquacultural theft is a major barrier to economic development and to the establishment of new industries. Our unwillingness to appreciate and embrace the role and true potential of agriculture is blatantly evident. The lack of provisions for agricultural-based businesses in the initial state of emergency orders and the lockdown orders exposed what appears to be both disregard for and ignorance of the requirements and practices of these agribusiness and aquabusiness ventures and the rules and policies that guide the industries. For instance, in the initial lockdown orders, there were no provisions made for farmers or farm staff or agricultural staff to move from their home to go to work. It's as if people didn't realize that plants need to be watered every day. Animals need to be watered every day. Animal pens need to be cleaned every day. What's also striking is it appears as if no one was aware that if you are leasing government land for agricultural pursuits, you are not permitted to construct a dwelling place or a structure for somebody to live on. So there's no place for someone to shelter in place because you're not allowed to have it there. And so we left a lot of farmers and animal people into husbandry and taking care of animals. We left them in the lurch, risking their freedom by breaking the law to go and tend to their animals, to go and tend to their financial and economic investments, and for some people to tend to their daily food supply. And that's why I think it's important for us to focus on agricultural theft. It's not just the government. We have a cadre of security firms now, but are any of them offering packages or services specifically designed for agribusinesses, for monitoring and protecting the crops on farms or the animals on farms? So, I brought someone with me to help expound on why agriculture is so important. Because we didn't even get to the surface of it yesterday. But I think that agriculture can have a profound impact on our economy and on our lives if we take it seriously. So before I introduce my guest, let me give you guys the call-in, text-in information, how you can tune into the show, how you can watch it or listen to it online. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and we're streaming live also audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow, channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. Powered by BTC and standard text rate supply. You can call us at 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, that's 325-4316, or 326-4259. So joining me today is a gentleman who I've known for a very long time, and he's partially responsible for my appreciation for agriculture. And he's partially responsible for me committing myself to growing a collective and national appreciation for agriculture and the culture of agriculture. I'm gonna let him introduce himself, because I used to call him a farmer, but he tell me that that's not an appropriate time for him or for what the majority of people in this country do. Good morning, Mr. Mins. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Bahamas. And thanks for having me. Well, my name is Leslie Mins. I am a retired agricultural economist. And I have 32 years of experience with agriculture, working in the Department of Agriculture. Now, this morning, Aaron, you asked me, what is agriculture? Now, I have two questions for you. I really don't need you to answer them. But my two questions to anybody out there listening is, one, is agriculture food only? And my second question is, what agricultural products did you use, consume today before your breakfast? The myth or the response that I get from most students and adults is agriculture is food only. That's incorrect. If you slept in a bed, wore pajamas, used a pillow, or you slept in a bed and your bed has a headboard and there are wooden doors between your rooms, These are all agricultural products that you have consumed before you even touch your breakfast. The pajamas, the sheets, the pillowcases, the mattress, the headboard, and the wooden door. These are all agricultural products. In addition, when you went into the bathroom before you ate your breakfast, you would have used soap to wash your face, toothpaste to brush your teeth, and women, they must have makeup, lipsticks, and lotions. All of these are agricultural products. Soap, toothpaste, makeup, lipstick, cologne, perfume. All of these come from a tree. As a matter of fact, the tires on your cars are an agricultural product. Most of these products can be produced in the Bahamas. When the Loyalists came to the Bahamas from the U.S., the United States of America South, they brought with them their slaves and cotton. That's pajamas, sheets, pillowcases, mattress. More than 70 years ago, a company named Owens of Illinois harvested Brazilita wood from the Bahamas. That wood was used mainly to build Harvard Law School in Massachusetts. That is not the only wood we have here. There are more, and here is a short list. We have the Madeira mahogany. The mahogany is the richest wood that you can find. There's horse flesh.
So but hold on one second. The mahogany, is that what she could be building boats with?
You'll get to that. No. Mahogany is used mainly to build furniture.
Okay.
Desks, you know, chest of drawers, headboards. But now if you want to build some wood, you could use the mahogany. Yes, mahogany has been used to build boats in the days of the buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also have a thing called horse flesh. Horse flesh grows wild in the Bahamas. Horse used to build the ribs of the boat. We also have pine. There's lots and lots of pine. And another name for pine is fuel wood. Good for making coal. Presently, we have many Bahamians producing beauty and hygiene products. While we strive for food security, we should not neglect the other possibilities. Products can be made and sold to Bahamians and tourists alike. As an agriculture economist, I would like to see us take advantage of all of our resources. Farming is an essential and honorable profession. Remember, there is no culture without agriculture. I would like to see those that practice agriculture given the respect they deserve. We call them farmers. Yes, they farm. Some grow crops, others raise animals. Now, if a person produces crop or animal for their own use, meaning it's not practiced for a profit, then I would agree you are a farmer. However, if you are producing for your livelihood, then you are an agribusiness person.
And I just want to note, in March of this year, or in March of every year, the Ministry of Agriculture puts on a expo. And they don't call it the Farmers Expo. They call it the Agribusiness Expo. Because over the years, that festival, that expo, has grown to reflect the wide variety of careers, of jobs, of functions, and of elements that exist in the agricultural space.
That's correct. So, to be a successful agribusiness person, the crop farmer has to be a contractor to clear his land, to put in infrastructure like wells and drip irrigation, to be a botanist, to successfully grow his plants.
But not just that. When they clearing the land, you need a botanist on the clearing the land team so they could identify what is already existing, what is valuable, and have a sense of what the what is going to be done with the land, so they could determine whether this tree should remain here, whether we should take it down entirely, or whether we should uproot it so it be on another part of the property.
Well, I'd like to expand on that a bit.
Yeah.
In the Bahamas, what we have is mostly rock land.
Mm-hmm.
But year after year, when the mango trees bear and avocado trees bear and the juju tree bear and the gnat tree bear, and they drop all the leaves on the ground, you know what we do? Pick them up, put them on a bag, and throw them away.
Yep.
We are throwing away our soil.
Yeah.
We need to keep that and nurture it and destroy it, compact it, compost it, mulch it, do something with it, but keep it and put it back in the land.
Because one of the greatest obstacles, or one of the greatest threats to global food security, is soil reduction, the loss of soil on the planet and topsoil, the surface of the planet.
Anyway, further,
mm-hmm.
My agribusiness crop farmer, he has to be a chemist. He has to prepare his mixtures to treat his plants. He has to make sure that he doesn't poison himself. And he also wants to make sure that he protects the water table. We have to keep our senses. He may have to borrow money that has to be repaid. Then he has to know his market. A lot for someone we call a farmer. There are persons on all of our islands that produce for sale. They need to be encouraged. Suppose they did not work the land. There would be no money and no need to be on the island. We need our islands populated. We must continue to use the land. Okay, on that hand, our livestock farmers, they have to become contractors to build their houses and pens. He must also be a veterinarian, meat specialist, and he has to go to market. So he may even have to be a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Both areas of agriculture, crop and livestock, require skills beyond that of a farmer. It requires that he or she be business people, and they deserve to make money. They are an extraordinary type of professional. And that's why and is what agriculture is. Well, short of it, I could expound, but it'd be until next week.
Yeah, and that's why we, perhaps, you know, I've been used to calling people farmers, right? And it just rolls off the tongue. We go to the farmer's market, right? But when you go to your local farmer's market on Gladstone Road, the one sponsored and run by the government, you'll realize that there are more than just farmers there, right? We've got people who are producing soil and compost, right? We got people who are adding value food products, right? We have people who are adding value to tomato and bottling tomato, people who are adding value to peppers and salt and infusing them together. But we also have people who are adding value and bringing non-consumable products to the market. I think for most people, farming, agriculture, is unattractive because they don't see any money in it. And they don't see any money in it because we import about $4 billion worth of food a year. How do you compete with that, right? People want the trendiest food options. They want the things they see in the commercial on TV. How does the local farmer, agriculturalist, and vendor who adds value to what's grown locally, how can they compete in a sustainable way? Or do we need to seek out other avenues in agriculture. For example, when I talk about diversifying agriculture, right? Yesterday I talked about thyme. I talked about how thyme is a West African thing we brought with us in our food. And maybe it stayed with us because it's a treatment for high blood pressure and hypertension and gout and swelling of the joint, right? But I also pointed out that there were other sort of non-consumable elements of thyme that would make it valuable in our life, right? So when I think about diversifying thyme, I usually say, hey, make sure you have thyme in a stew conch. You know, well, instead of saying thyme is for stew conch, it ain't Bahamian if you don't have thyme in it, I say, why don't you infuse some thyme and some salt and sprinkle it on your popcorn, right? Or why you don't make a thyme sea grape syrup for your conch waffles. But diversifying agriculture for Bahamians in this context could be far more than that. What are the avenues that Bahamians can compete in to generate money given the local sort of economic and business context?
Well, Aaron, we need to support our farmers. Only way this whole thing is going to mushroom and grow is we need money. And the more money we keep at home, it's better for the economy, it's better for us. More money that we have to invest. So we need to pick those products that we can successfully grow, that we have some type of comparative advantage over the people that export to us. And that is why they export to us, because they have a comparative advantage. But there are many products out there that we can pick. Those ones that are most used, like the onion. Bahamians eat so much onion, we need to just stop buying onion and just grow all our onion that we need.
Absolutely. But look here, we grow a lot of onion, but we don't consume a lot of locally made onion products. We just use it sort of as a herb to add flavor.
That's why I say, just Bahamians, support your people. Support your farmers.
But see, for me, for me, in terms of competition, right, it seems impossible to compete with the big guys as a small farmer. The advantage of local farming is beyond the economic, keeping as much money at home as possible, supporting local farmers. The advantage is a health benefit, which is the closer to harvest that you eat your food, the more nutrients it retains and you get from it. So why focus on importing organic food that may be 6 months, maybe 4 weeks from harvest, when you can invest on growing local organic food, which will reach its customer base in less than a week?
I don't see most of us Bahamians being certified to be called organic. First of all, you have so many standards to meet to get to be called organic. Then you have to go and get an organic company to come in and certify you that you grow in organic. The truth of the matter is, most Bahamian farmers grow organically because they cannot afford to buy all these expensive inputs, all these insecticides and herbicides and things like that. So they are growing organically. And as for how you're going to compete against the big boys, I would forget the big boys, because guess what happened? I live here. I get neighbors. I go to church. I get children in school. That's my market. I don't need to go to Super Value. I could have all of them come to me, but they need to know that I got it. And people buy by sight. If they see it and they like it, they go buy it. So grow it and get it to your closest people. I know they're going to want to try to get it from you for free. So trade. Get them the juju and you take a nap.
Yeah, butter. So 1 second. I think we got a caller on the line. Caller, you are live on the clock.
Morning, on the clock.
Morning.
Yes. Aaron, it is called basically to say, do YouTube show, get it, gentlemen, do YouTube show. life. If you want to know about our culture of farming in a big way, in a more traditional way, because I grew up, my dad had a farm, grew up on a farm. We never used chemicals to grow our products. Like what you're saying, we always use the soil and call it recycle. That's called recycle, like the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And recycle it and plant it over again. He's all right. Would you do a YouTube of him?
Well, listen, I about to sign a contract with him to be my personal agricultural expert. But, you know, this is why I have him on the show. I think it's important for us to... Okay, first of all, I got a man like this who has a career in agriculture and is an agricultural expert in a sense. In a society that does not necessarily have the mechanisms to capture that information and to store it in a way that people can access it for its cultural context, for its historic context, for its technical context, right? And so, you know, that's a part of the reason why I brought him on is to have this conversation. And as a beginning of building a platform where I invite people to share this type of information and we build our own policies around agriculture. Because the next question I was about to ask him is, what do you think, you know, is it viable? Should we invest in creating our own organic certification system?
And my other question I'm going to ask you, then I'm going to hang up.
Yes, sir.
Private companies, I always say that they do rather invest in radio stations and real estate. Why do they understand the concept of feeding themselves? Why do they not invest in feeding themselves? Why do they invest in foreign food that no one knows what they put in them? And the gentleman on the side talking about, but we know our food. And we know our food is not going to grow with no chemicals because everybody has a massive backyard and everybody growing their own things. Like they're sharing it. It's more safer to grow our own things than to eat the foreign things, eat the foreign hog food and what have you. Might be, well, you all know, they inject needles into the chicken. You know what I'm saying? And we all know how they force the banana to grow.
Right. There's an issue. Well, there are issues with commercial growing, right? And we need to decide whether we find that acceptable.
Because mm-hmm. I grew up on natural bananas, natural tomatoes, not mm-hmm. chemicals. It's called organic. That's what you grew up on.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You know, so the idea is to create platforms where we can work together, right? So I'm not gonna tell a radio station or a big importer, you know, oh my goodness, you're investing in the wrong things. What I'm gonna ask them to do is to create a space or to help me to create a space, right? Where we can focus on these things because the agriculture and aquaculture industry or industries to function, an element of even growing that industry will be growing an appreciation or a culture of appreciation for that industry. And you're going to need the media, right? You're going to need the media to contact the people. 1 minute, Mr. Mintz. I think we got another call. Caller, you on the line?
Caller, Data University, along with your guest, Aaron.
Good morning. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. Aaron, I grew up in Auckland. I was born and grew up in Auckland. Delectable day for that matter. But what I want to say, right? Your show going to show the intelligentsias that are in the Bahamas. What I want to say, the gentleman mentioned pine tree, right?
Yes.
The thing is, pine tree is also a medication for human and animals.
That's great.
Other thing is, right, yesterday I spoke of the corn, right? I want you to know that the silvery stuff in the corn,
mm-hmm.
that's a medication for humans also.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to keep all of this information under your belt because there's a lot of things that Bahamians doesn't know.
Right. And this is it. Like, some of these things, if you knew them, you know how empowered you would feel the next morning when you wake up? Like when I realize, even though I live in Johnson Road, which is the home of the juju. Because obviously somebody must have used to have a juju grove in the back there, right? All my life, I grow up eating juju. And I didn't realize juju was an apple. That whole time, right? And all my life, I grow up walking past juju trees and seeing flies on the juju trees and realizing that maybe flies pollinate juju, you know? Maybe, because it always flies. But nobody talking about it. Nobody seemed to know, and a lot of people didn't even seem to care about it. But you know how empowering it is for me to be able to tell the juju vendor or Rasta or young man, hey, when the juju go into rotten, make applesauce with it. If you got little babies you need to feed, make sure you got juju in juju season and make applesauce and feed them babies. Because it isn't anything more empowering than knowing that you could feed your children when they're hungry. Anyway, we got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. It sounds like you on the clock and on the dock. You still there?
Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Mr. Lenz is just hailing you up, man. Turn on the radio and I hear Mr. Lenz talking. He's good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Good stuff.
And who am I speaking to?
That's Owen, man.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, are them beans, mate?
Everything growing, man. Everything growing. All got right. All the baby chickens are hatching and stuff now.
That's good.
Yeah, but love Mr. Manz. He always helped me out and stuff, and I learned plenty from him.
Thank you, man.
Keep up the good work, bro. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, buddy. I can heal you.
All right, bro.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm going to read a couple of texts right now. Good morning. Can you help me to get in contact with the Minister of Agriculture to get the tractor working to clear down the farmers? I think you mean to clear down the farms. I do not have a personal or a government cell contact for Minister Pintard, but I am sure that he is easy to get in contact with in the sense that he'll get back to you. I would say try the Out Island Traders building where there's a Ministry of Agriculture office there, and they could definitely get you in contact with Mr. Pintard. And then I have here, you do realize, okay, maybe this isn't for me, this is about severance pay. Right, oh, I got another one. Please continue to talk about this. A country that can feed itself is better than one with billions of dollars. That is a bill off. The solution is simple. Stay on top of imports and agriculture. If we got bananas, there should be no bananas imported. Thousands could be employed by us. So, you see, here's the thing about our particular context, right? We are in a hurricane zone. And so I imagine we got a problem with two things. We got a problem with ensuring product ventures and a problem with investment in ventures in a place where a storm like Dorian or even a storm like Floyd could destroy your entire investment. But that's why we need to talk about it, because we need the powers that be to see the landscape, right? We need them to see the ground we're trying to plant out. I need the insurance industry to understand their importance in this particular industry and in all industries, in establishing and, creating and establishing by ensuring that there is oversight, ensuring, no pun intended, right, that there are regulations and frameworks that people can operate within. The insurance industry is going to be one of your biggest movers and shakers in terms of new developments. And then, the issue of agricultural theft. Who is going to come in and invest in an environment where there's no attention to security at all? And see, we've just been sort of talking about food. You see this weather out here today? I want some bamboo socks right now. It is cold. And so, Mr. Minz, this is one of the things I wanted. Well, the question I have here is a bit of a weird question. What will drive the agricultural revolution? Do you think it'll be money? Will it be culture? Will it be hunger? Or will it be tourism?
All I can say is we talked about it after 9/11. And now we have a pandemic. So I hope we don't have to have another pandemic before we address the situation. Because this country is larger than Jamaica. And they are exporting things all over us. We are one of the closest countries to the United States of America. And we don't even have a $1 billion worth of agricultural sales with them. We have land like dirt. Excuse the pun.
So, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, yesterday I asked my audience to call in and share with us, with me, and the public, what do they think is the single most important agricultural and aquaculture product for the Bahamas, historically, currently, and in the future? And most of the responses were around food. I think one person commented about straw. But I have a feeling that the agricultural or aquaculture product that will be most impactful on our economy and our lives is not food. I think it's something that we grow, that we can grow, but we would not consume. What do you think? What do you think is the most, the single most, or if you can't highlight one, the most important agricultural or aquacultural products?
Well, you know, most people want food. Everybody needs money. Coming soon, I hope, the country opens up. Because to me, I feel that the future, we're going to always be buying food until we start to eliminate those products that we use. Now, I had identified 30 products, and all we need to do is take them one at a time. However, in addition to that, I think that we can make money landscaping, medicinal products, and preservatives. And we take those things and we sell them to our tourists. We export it through them. We don't put them in a box and send them. Let them buy it and carry it.
Yeah, yeah. So, look here, I got a caller on the line, and I want to get back to that. Caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Good. This is the Valley Boy. Am I on the clock?
You are on the clock.
Good morning to your guest. Listen, what I call
thank
about
you.
Is I need to find out if your guest can help people get set up in backyard farming because I need some help.
Sir.
And how can I reach him?
Well, I'll
let me answer that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir, I am not a crop farmer.
Okay.
In fact, I backyard farming, that's for retired leisurely people like myself.
Oh, okay.
Now, if I were you and I really, really wanted one of the best backyard farmers with the prettiest and the best setup, I would contact a gentleman by the name of Arnold Dorset.
You got a number?
Let me see now. I know if you want me to give you my number. His number now.
Give your number to the producer, and I'll make sure that Mr. Minns gets it.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yes, but sir, I bet you now. I'll grow for myself, but I like plants and flowers.
Yeah, but I can guarantee the flowers if we have another pandemic.
Now, hold on now,
no,
sir. Let me stop you right there.
Plants and flowers can be sold and put money inside my pocket without no competition from nobody.
Hold on, and let me just say this, Mr. Backyard Farmer.
Yeah.
You can eat a lot of flowers. And when you start your backyard farming project, right, you're going to reach a grow period where you're not producing fruit. And you're producing leaves and sometimes some flowers that aren't going to go to fruit. You can eat those. So when you're not producing, you know, like when we out of season, that don't mean you need to kill the plant. There's still things you can consume from that plant.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow some pineapples. Now my pineapple caught. I got sugarcane. I got bananas.
Oh, you got a mosquito farm. You're growing mosquitoes.
Those pineapples can take 18 months, right?
Yeah, well, I know they can take a little while. You know, it's just a trial and error. But Aaron, I got one big spice tree up here. You would be might be interested. You can sit down and make 1,000 bags of spice leaves, dry them out, and you can sell them.
Spice leaf tea right now. You see how cold it is, in fact?
Leaves, you got a big spice leaf tree up here where I is.
Okay, listen, I got another caller, but I can tell you this. If you got a spice leaf tree, it's like, you know, you got a naturally occurring food flavor enhancer. If you got a bay leaf tree, that's your I don't want to call a product name, right? But that's the thing you just put in the food to give it umami. That's a natural version of that.
Yeah, we can talk, but let me give my number to producer.
Yes, sir.
I can get this thing going.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Caller, you are on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Totally enjoying the conversation this morning, Aaron. Aaron, I think there are a few things that we have to acknowledge here.
Okay.
In its context.
Yes, sir.
Firstly, the Bahamas has been known for decades to be one of the best growers of fruits and vegetables on this side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were so successful back in the 60s and the 70s, whereas we even helped Florida, our closest neighbor, a U.S. neighbor, to even start many of their industries right there in Florida. And it's really a shame that today we are importing so many of these things when we can just some farmers even here today is in competition with the importers importing the same stuff that they grow here. Now, the thing that really irks me at times is that when we hear people talk about, well, you know, the volume, we can't keep with the volume or the demand that is right here in New Providence, period.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, why would the farmer really want to increase their yield if the local demand is not there?
Right.
I believe we need to get to the point whereas certain crops, when grown here, that is plentiful. Like the other day, sometime last year, we saw a video online where a gentleman, a farmer on one of the islands, had grown so much onions that they went to waste. I believe that the time must come when we put a moratorium in place, whereas the certain crops that is in high demand and is yielding quite rapidly here in the Bahamas, we need to stop the importation of persons bringing in their stuff and really encourage and support the local growers and producers.
I think that
is the first tier of beginning the revolution in this country, whereas the Bahamian farmer or the producer or the grower here is getting first dibs at anything in this country and before we allow the importation of the same product that they're growing on a daily basis. I'll close on this one point very quickly here, Aaron. And
yes,
thank
sir.
You very much for taking my call and allowing me to express myself.
Yes, sir.
I believe that the time has also come when we have to set up something like an FDA. We are importing so much stuff that is GMO'd and everything, and nobody in the government is actually doing a study or trying to set up a similar agency that will check the quality of the food that's being imported here. That may account to why we have so many sick people here. We already know by a lot of the farmers here that they grow their stuff organically using organic products. But nobody here is doing check and balance to really help the Bahamian people to remain healthy by supporting our farmers here. Thank you very much for taking my call, Aaron.
Thank you. And to the next caller, we're coming right now. Look here, you made so many good points. And we have a testing lab, right? We have a testing lab, and we have world-class professionals working in it. And so when the other caller suggested or said, you know, we want to encourage the big businessmen to invest in different ways. Yes, we want to encourage them to invest in the mechanisms and institutions necessary to grow a healthy country, right? So we want to invest in a testing regime for imports, right? So we're not saying that we're not going to import. We're just saying that, look, we have the capacity to ensure that we are only importing the best quality things. And the second point is that this is going to require a real cultural shift, a shift in the way that we consume foods and what we consume to build the balance of shifting farmers and shifting consumers so farmers are growing what Bahamians want to eat. Caller, you're on the clock. I am sorry, caller. I hope you had a couple of jujus to fill your mouth while we were talking. And so on that note, I just want to put in a quick plug here. It's tamarind time. When I say it's tamarind time, what I mean is this. If you was pick tamarind to sell to people, please go check the trees now. Please go pull off all the dead tamarind, all the old tamarind from last year. Give the tree the strength to put that last push of energy on. Because people like me waiting to buy tamarind. And I tired of buying bag of tamarind and half the tamarind moldy and half the tamarind good. And then the other half of the bag is just leaf, right? With people trying to build a real tamarind industry. Mr. Mins.
Good morning.
Got a few more minutes. And I got a question that I wanted to ask you. I guess it's threefold. What's the thing that you would most want to share with older farmers and younger, or agriculturalists and younger agriculturalists? Like the thing that you learned that you think that they should know, both older and younger.
Stop getting bogged down with the food. She likes to talk about theft. People going to steal your cabbage, steal your tomatoes. They're going to steal everything that they know how to sell. Diversify. Do something else. Grow some asparagus, beans. Grow some bok choy or grow some gourds. There's a Chinese hotel down there, Bahama, come in, and they got lots of different types of exotic vegetables that we need to grow so that people don't thief our things.
That's right. Because if I grow in an exotic melon, like if I grow in a lemon cucumber, and somebody take my lemon cucumbers off my farm, and I see lemon cucumbers in the market, I have a pretty good idea who take my lemon cucumbers, right? And that's a strategic thing. But also, think about this. Identify your potential markets and ask them what they want you to grow for them, right? We have a lot of migrant communities here. That's a good thing. Ask them what they want. Specialize niche farming. But Mr. Mins, I got a caller on the line. Caller, quickly, you on the clock. You get, I'm sorry about that. So, Mr. Mins, the last question is this. Since starting my own agribusiness, I learned a lot of fascinating things about flora, about plants and trees and food. What I wanted to ask you is this. In fact, I learned this, that passion fruit like to run. You know, they're vine. They like to run. More than running, they like to run on a living thing. And more than that, passion fruit love to run on another fruit-bearing tree or shrub. And you could see that love in the difference in the size of the fruit it produces. That's one of the most fascinating things I learned about agriculture in this place. What's the most fascinating thing that you have learned in your entire time of putting your hand in the soil and touching trees?
That's a good question. Probably never even thought about that. What I like about agriculture is everything. Everything.
Everything about it.
Everything about it. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it all over again. But I am not a crop farmer. I am not a livestock farmer. I am an agriculturalist. And there's many, many, many advantages in agriculture, many, many resources in this country.
All right, so we're going to go to a break. I'm going to read the last of these texts, and then we're going to have our last words for the show. I'm going to leave you with some juju to chew on.
Guardian Media wants you to get active in 2021 and become eligible to win a two-night stay at the luxurious Comfort Suites, plus a round-trip ticket on Bahamas Air, gift certificates from Rose Essentials, Bahari, Sia Monet Organic Candles, Soaps, and Scents, lunch for two at Tiki Bikini Hut, and cases of water from Bahama Blue. Get up, get out, and get active. Walk, jog, run, cycle, or swim on dates and times of your choosing safely anywhere in the Bahamas. Take a photo or video of you being active and log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com contest page. Click on the Guardian Media Get Active in 2021 contest link and upload your photos and videos. Invite your friends and family to vote on your entry for your chance to win fantastic prizes. Your body and mind will thank you for being active. Guardian Media is working to help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Promotion ends February 26th. Winners will be announced March 5th.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser, as Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be Smart Talk, ideas and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Green, and you are on the clock. Before we get to the end of the show, I want to tell you about Get Active. Get up, get out, and get active. Four platforms to enter, over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com, click on the Get Active link. Download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry, and you can win. Promotion ends February 26th. That's Get Active. Caller, I hope you're the caller that I dropped a couple times. You get 30 seconds. You still there, caller? Oh, I am sorry. So, Mr. Mins, we are at the end of the show, and I got a question for you. Somebody asked, what can you use to repel snakes out of yards? And they live in the deep southwestern area of New Providence.
Now, you put me on the spot there, but you use the same thing that Moses used in Egypt, kamalami, the kamalami tree.
Look at
that. That bruised the snakes, the Egyptian snakes.
I see now, because I see why this affinity to the Old Testament and the Bible. In fact, God does live here. Kamalami tree.
Kamalami.
I got one of them in my yard. Yeah. And in fact, if you want to keep the thieves out, bromeliads. Put plenty bromeliads and bougainvillea. Prickle them to pieces. Make it as hard as possible. If you want to keep the mosquitoes out, try thyme, oregano, Spanish thyme. Try lavender. Try rosemary. Plant those bushes in areas near your windows or your doors or where you sit in your yard. And you could keep that mosquito thief out your yard. Listen, it has been a pleasure having this conversation with you guys today. To the texter, I really miss the taste of Gladstone Farm chicken too. I don't even eat chicken no more. It is sadness. And yes, the government spent $38 million last year on food for the needy. Imagine if we had invested a portion of that into growing local agriculture food projects. Mr. Mins, it's been a pleasure having you. I hope that I could have you back in conjunction with other local industry stakeholders to continue building this most needed platform. Bahamas, thank you for being on the clock. Have a great day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.